The gospel is everything. What is the gospel? As Paul said, the gospel is Jesus. I hope that's what we hear this morning. Father, help us. Help me. We need your Spirit to minister the word to us. Help us hear the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts 13:22, you can stay seated. And when he had removed him, Saul, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. I hope this makes sense to you this morning, and here's why. If you notice, I have to play with a teleprompter everywhere I go because of migraines, because often I cannot remember my words. I can't get my first lines, but I never forget the music. It's weird. This week, it's been an interesting week for Christmas. It's been very busy. It's been hectic. And I got those gifts that come with the 12 days of Christmas, and that's a pound a day for 12 days. And along with that, I've also had a migraine every day of the week for about the past 8 days. And I woke up this morning thinking, oh, I don't feel it. No pain. Woohoo! It's going to be good. Well, not so much. So I have a migraine this morning, and I've had a very difficult time thinking and keeping my concentration. So that's why I say, I hope you get this. I hope I don't. So if I pause and I don't say anything, it's because I'm actually having to figure out where I am on my page. So God help you. Oh, man. So we read this passage, and God calls David a man after his own heart. And you can read commentaries, and you can Google it, and you can see all this stuff of why people believe David is a man after God's own heart. Well, he loved the law, and he just wanted to be obedient, and he did all these great things, and he just had passion for Jesus. Well, passion for God. And I think a lot of us would want to put ourselves in that category, but you'd have to ask your question, how's that working out for you? How about those days where you don't have passion for Christ, passion for the things of God? How about those days where you could care less about God's law? How about those days where you don't want anything to do with reading your Bible or praying? And the thing is every one of us in here have those days. So obviously, it cannot be those things that make David a man after God's own heart. So let me give you an irreducible minimum about Scripture, and this is the lens that we will be looking through this morning. Scripture, all of Scripture, is about two people. That is corrupt human, period. That period means stop. There's no more to that story. Corrupt human. The other person is a redeeming God. It is Jesus. Corrupt human, period, all stop. That's your story. That's my story. There is nothing else to my story. Everything else is all about Jesus. Everything else is what he does, what he desires, what he wills, what he declares. Everything else is about Jesus. Corrupt human, full stop. How does that sit? How does that feel? Does it make you feel good? Are you corrupt? Yes, you are. Are you redeemed? Yes, you are. Here's what's funny. Think about this. Think of all the different ways that someone can express that statement. Yes, you are. Oh, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. I'm a child of the King. Yes, you are. I'm a child of the King. Yeah, you are. I'm a horrible person. I'm sinful. Yeah, you are. Sinner and saint. We're both. Yeah, you are. But remember, corrupt human, full stop. Contrary to popular assumptions, the Bible is not a record of the blessed good, but rather the blessed bad. It is not a record of good people. It is a record of people who were blessed and redeemed of by God, people who were judged by God. The Bible is not a witness to the best people making it up to God. It is a witness to God making it down to the worst people. Corrupt human, full stop. A redeeming God, rest of the story. David did a lot of bad things. We know the stories, the lust, Bathsheba, murder, you name it. Abraham, God has a plan. Great, I'll develop the rest of the plan. I'll develop the rest of the story. God said, no, you won't. But yet he tried, and look what happened. Look at all of the great people that we consider heroes throughout the scripture, and look how corrupt they were. Look at the schemes that they designed in order to do what? Execute what they thought God's will should look like. Corrupt human, full stop. The rest of the story is God's story. And we could go home now, and you can just chew on that the rest of your life. Honestly, there are times, though, if I'm honest and honest before you, there are times that I struggle. I have sin. I struggle with understanding this whole soul-saving, eternity-altering, life-changing grace of God. I struggle with that because surely there's a part that I play in all this. And there is a part that I play. There's a part that you play in this thing. And it is corrupt human, stop. That's the part you play. Corrupt human, stop. Now on God's side of the story, I'm redeemed. Okay, here I am. This is me talking. I'm redeemed. I have been forgiven my sin. I trust in the finished work of Christ. Great. And then we come across passages that state things like, but there's good works for us to do. There are great works. But something hit me upside of the head and floored me. Just as we try to give an answer to what makes David a man after God's own heart, we ask the same kind of questions. What are these good works that we are called to do? We can boil it down to one. The good work is trust. I have to work at trusting God. But let's look at another one that I think has overlooked and just missed most of the days of our life. Remember the sentence? Corrupt human, period, full stop. The rest of the story is God's. Here's a great work. God redeems me. And then he takes me, and my role is for him to go, see what I've done, see who I am. My good work is to let him show me around to the rest of the universe that I am a God who redeems. My work is to be a trophy that he waves around displaying his greatness, waves around displaying his grace and his mercy. That's my work. My work is to be held in the hand of the Redeemer and displayed for all of the majesty and universe to see. That's who I am. That is my good work. What did I have to exercise to do that work? Absolutely nothing. God did it. Corrupt human, stop. The rest of the story is God. From day one, from when Adam fell, God said, I am going to redeem a people to myself, and I'm going to display them amongst all of the universe. And it says that the angels marveled at the revealed wisdom of God. I mean, what did they revel in? What were they amazed at? God was going to redeem this people, that he was going to save corrupt humans. That's me. That's you who trust in Christ. We are redeemed. The work is, I'm going to wave you around. Selah and her cousin Zoe, they got from my mom, they both wanted these dancing ribbons that are on a stick, and they have these long rhythms, and they can dance, and they just make all kinds of shapes. And, you know, so they were playing with them that night. And just kind of let you know what our Christmases are like. Well, one of the things we had to do was a lightsaber duel. So we have it on video. But they were dancing around with these ribbons and just making all kinds of shapes. And it's really cool looking. What's my work? To rest and let Jesus go, look how great I am. That's my work. When we deeply consider the grace of God, especially in that kind of picture, it genuinely does seem too good to be true. How can that be? Because where do we live? Well, we live in a world, as you've heard from this pulpit said many times, we live in a world that is give to get. If I do this, I will get this. If I love well, I will be well loved. And God says, no, I've chosen to redeem you and I love you, period. Corrupt human, period. For many years, and even now, I have struggled to see myself as a sinner. What do I mean by that? Do I know that I sin? I absolutely do. Do I sin? I absolutely do. Am I aware that I'm a sinner? Yes, I am. Are you? Yeah, because most of us, if not all of us in this room, will go around and we will declare, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I do sin. Do you repent? Yes, I do repent. My problem is this, that I have never really seen myself as a sinner. And let me define this. I am prone to compare myself to other sinners. Thank God I'm not like that guy. And I will readily confess, I understand what that means. And I really try not to say, well, yeah, God, I'm glad I'm not like that guy. Problem is I do every day. I haven't done what he's done. But for the grace of God, I haven't done what he's done. Well, according to scripture, you want to make a bet? You want to bet on it. Corrupt human, full stop. Of course, I focus on my good qualities. How about you? Do you focus on your good qualities? Man, the Lord has really delivered for me from this. Wow, you know, I used to be this guy, but God has changed me. I'm not like him anymore because God has changed me. Do you see what just happened? You're still corrupt. I'm still corrupt. I have not actually understood what it means that I am a sinner, but I really want to. Because the more I understand what it means that I am a sinner, the more incredible grace becomes. And the more incredible grace becomes, the more I don't want to be that sinner. The fact that I am so lavished and loved by God, hearing him say, you're a sinner, but you're redeemed. Yes, you are. The more I am lavish, the more I become constrained in despising the very corrupt nature that I have. Here's what happens conversely. The more I strive to be constrained away from sin, the more I become the child who wants to run and take every gift that the Father has away from the Father and go play with them myself. Do you get that? I want to take what Jesus is offering and I want to say, thank you for the gift. I can do better with it. I'm going to go play with them. You just stay here. Watch how good I can play with these toys that you want to give me. I remember one Christmas. I wanted so badly to get this thing that is just, when you think about it, it's just strange. I mean, why would a kid want to take a doll and grab him by both arms and see how far you can stretch him? I wanted a Stretch Armstrong. And after I took the toy that I got for Christmas and ran off and played with it for a while and figured out, man, I've got so much freedom I can do with this thing, I got bored. And what do you think I did? What's inside of Mr. Stretch Armstrong? And I cut him open. And it's like weird, syrupy, kind of strange stuff. And as soon as I opened it up, I was like, okay. Where do you think Stretch ended up? I am going to figure out what this grace is all about. I'm going to take it, and I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to figure out how this grace works. And I'm going to dissect it, and I'm going to peel it apart. And man, this is incredible, the freedom I'm finding. Okay, now, what makes it work? And I'm going to cut it open, and pretty soon, grace doesn't work because you were busy figuring out how you are to use grace. And you find yourself without a toy. And you find yourself now disinterested and in a worse position. Because now, not only are you just the kid who really wants a Stretch Armstrong, now you're a kid who has destroyed Stretch Armstrong, and I need to go find another toy. Quit, please. Stop trying to figure out what grace is and just hear what grace says. Yes, you are mine. You are mine. I have redeemed you. It gets worse. I'm a sinner. What does that mean? Grace has been given to me. What does that mean? Audience participation, show of hands. How many of you know that you are a sinner? How many of you know you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? That all sins have been forgiven. every one of them. I have come to understand that I am a sinner. And every day I am learning more and more what grace means. What it means that I have had the breath of God breathed into me. Please hear this. Please hear this. I am redeemed of God. I am a corrupt human, full stop. The rest of the story is God's. Have you ever been in a courtroom and seen the judge pronounce the verdict, not guilty, gavel? Have you ever seen the judge afterwards come down off the stand and say, man, I love you so much. I think you're the greatest person so much. I just had to pronounce you not guilty, and start hugging on them and kissing on them and giving them gifts and just lavishing them with everything. Have you ever seen that? Doesn't happen. Why? But the judge showed mercy, not guilty. Now, every human analogy falls short, but get this. Mercy, there's no relationship. It is a pronouncement of what the judge says about you. You have no relationship. The relationship is grace. Let me show you why I have given you mercy. Because I love you, I adore you, and man, you're a great trophy I want to show, because it is all about me. Now listen to this. I know I am a sinner. I am redeemed. I have been shown mercy, and God has lavished his love upon me. The understanding that I am a sinner and how great the grace of God is comes with this next sentence. Please hear this. Redeemed, I'm speaking to the redeemed. Redeemed, beloved of God, you had better know that the worst you could still be right in front of you. But I'm redeemed of God. Yes, but the worst you could still be right in front of you. It could be tomorrow. You could commit murder just like David did tomorrow. But I love my wife. We're redeemed. God's in the middle of our relationship, and we pray every day. But you could still commit adultery tomorrow. I am a sinner who stares at the possibility that the worst me could still be tomorrow. And yet, he still loves me. He still says, I have forgiven you everything before, everything now, and anything else that could be. Yes, I know, Paul, you might end up tomorrow, a week from now, you could be that guy, but I have redeemed you. Grace does not make the sinner safe from sin. It makes the sinner safe from the ultimate consequence of sin. Every one of us have holes in the armor, but he doesn't. But how fast and how quick are we? Let's just do this. There's a pastor up here in the pulpit held to a high standard, and he commits adultery, and he loses his pulpit, loses his church. How quick are we, sinners, corrupt humans, to condemn him and to discard every bit of truth he ever spoke that was absolute truth from Scripture? Where is the mercy and grace towards him that has been shown to you, person who could do that tomorrow? I am a sinner. Yes, I am. And I have been redeemed. Yes, I have. Why is David a man after God's own heart? Because God said, that's what I want. And there is one thing that we see about David over and over and over. There was repentance. What is it that shows or displays that I am a man after God's own heart? I know that I'm a sinner. I will repent. Why? Because he will enable me to repent. Who are you? I'm a sinner. Yes, you are. Are you redeemed? I am. Well, then you're a saint. Yes, you are. What is this grace all about? Him, period. What are you going to do about it? Absolutely nothing. I can't, except let him wave me around and display to the universe that even though I have great potential tomorrow to be the worst human being that's ever walked the planet, he still goes and takes great joy. I remember I was sitting in Bible college, and one of my favorite professors, his name was Van Gill, he posed a question to the class, and he said, okay, how many of you are wanting to go into ministry? And most of the class raised their hand. And then he asked the question, how many of you believe that you could commit adultery? And two people raised their hand. And I was one of them. And I have to tell you, I actually had no real understanding of what that meant. But I knew I had the potential. And it's taken 31 years to see what that really means. 31 years so far from that moment, the Lord just going like this. Most of that 31 years was me trying to figure out what is meant by grace. And finally seeing, what does grace really mean? That's all you need to know. He is going to grab you and dance and display his greatness of what he's done and say, yes, look at this great potential sinner, but look what I've done in the face of that sinner. That is grace. What part do you play in that? Your job in this thing, in this life that we call a life in the grace of God, your job, the work you are to do is to be held and let him display his greatness. That's our job. Let's say that day comes, and up to that point, you have now experienced the worst you. You have committed adultery. You have whatever. Adultery is an easy one because most of us relate to that. Why? Because it's happened in our minds. But let's say that day comes. What do you think God is going to say about you? Hear me. If you think that God is going to be disappointed in you, you don't know what grace is. You have been living trying to dissect grace for yourself. Because if God is going to be disappointed in you, then that means that the full punishment at Christ on Calvary wasn't full, that there's some that's still left. And when he said it was finished then, he meant it was finished for all of eternity. There is nothing left. And when God looks at you, and Scripture tells us that all he sees is Jesus, how can he be displeased in that? It's very simple. The finished work at Calvary, God was saying, if I redeem you, regardless of what happens on this planet, if I have redeemed you, I will never give you up. We have just been rickrolled by Christ. I will never give you up. I will never let you down. I will never run around or desert you. That's something I can dance to, even though I hate the song. But he's waving us around. Romans 5:20. The law has brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. One last picture. Jesus has redeemed me, and he is waving me around. He's waving you around. I mean, he's waving all the redeemed around. And then we happen to commit become the worst me we've ever had. What does he do? Do you know you just became a bigger flag, a bigger ribbon? Because in our messed up minds on this planet, we think, well, how can God love that person? They've gone past this degree. And God is saying, you see, there is no degree that is greater than what I can overcome. I overcame all of it. Folks, understanding that the worst me is possibly in front of me makes grace so much bigger. It makes me understand, wow, what I've done up till now is huge. It's really sin. And yet he still loves me. He still redeems me. He is still pleased with me. Can you just stop and rest and let the Savior flail you around, displaying his majesty, his redemption? Because the story is corrupt human, period. I'm a redeeming God, ! And whatever else emoji you want to put beside it. I hope that makes sense to you. I hope that you feel the weight of our sin condition, but that you also feel the weight of the lavishing love that the Savior has for his redeemed. That's grace. And you know what? Who cares if you can't figure it out? Enjoy it, lest we get bored. That's all I got. Father, help us. Help us to know that in Christ Jesus, we are redeemed sinners, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. May we know grace all the more. May we know how vast the love that you have for us is. Show us our hearts that we may see Jesus. Amen.